Hi, and welcome to a summertime edition of China on the Rocks, a podcast where we talk about the Shanghai and China F&B scene, everything food and beverage, and everything in between. I am Logan, and I'm joined by my awesome co-host.
Hi, guys. Anna here.
Very tropical looking today, Anna.
Very, wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I'm feeling the summer. The weather is incredible.
Yeah, I'm feeling the summer. Like, it's, we were walking here. We had lunch before we came over, and it's hot. Like,
it's hot, but it's still nice. It's still a little windy, a little fresh. It feels great. The sunlight feels just invigorating, but it's like a tale of what's going to come.
Yeah.
The heat nightmare of the summer in Shanghai.
Like, it's one of those perfect times to be in Shanghai. Like, May is a wonderful season. Sometimes we get these plum rains, which we've talked about, but
June, July, yeah.
But May is just a gorgeous time. And then again in like October, it's perfect weather.
Yeah, there's just 2 months out of the year that they're great. And then everything else is either too cold, too wet, or too hot.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a great city to live in. It's just like, this is perfect weather. You can have like barbecues and picnics. You want to be outside.
Yeah, it makes you want to be outside. I think that that's the feeling right now. So that's why we had a walk. And
we had a nice walk and talk. We had some nice lunch. And now what we're going to have is a shot.
Yes, cheers.
So today we're drinking High Seas Distillery, which is a Shanghai-made distillery. We talk about them a lot on the show because they're friends of the podcast. I just hit a table, and we're drinking the ex-bourbon barrel black label.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, Logan, I heard that High Seas is getting a lot of awards in San Francisco.
Well, that's awesome, because that's our idea for our podcast today. Nice segue, Anna.
Haha, look at that.
So, we just got the news, which is really, really huge, that High Seas, in 2023 and 24 at the San Francisco World Spirits.
Which, by the way, guys, is an institution that rates spirits. Basically, they go through extensive tasting with several industry leaders and several people that basically work in spirits, and they qualify in the quality, aroma, special, and all that. And they get different awards. So some of them just get rated like best craft, or some of them are like best flavor profile and other things like that. I don't remember all the categories. But it's really cool, and basically it's not like just one spirit wins it all. It's more like all of them get a grading.
Yeah, and this is the cool thing is we're representing Shanghai, China, but mostly for China. And so this will be one of the most award-winning gins produced in China right now. So the big one was the Double Gold for the Crazy Eights Gold Oak Gin, which is one of our favorites. That's the one I like to drink on the rocks.
I like it in a highball.
Yeah, a Negroni too. It works really well.
It's an aged gin that it's incredible.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we'll definitely we'll figure out a way to get Brian, our founder of High Seas. We'll have him in for a chat, and we'll go behind some of the thought processes. And then they also got a gold label for the Sand Oaks Green Label, which is just beautiful. That's the oak on that is really incredible. And then we have another gold win for Sand Oaks Whiskey Red Label. So these are all big deal for relatively new distillery. So congratulations, Brian and Dan and the team at High Seas Distillery.
And we're big fans. We always drink. And I can't wait to see what else they're going to come, though. But another segue. I just realized, because the weather and it's springtime, and if you can hear my voice, the pollen is out to get me.
Still.
Yeah, it's allergy seasons. But also, it's a season for gin. It's a season for flowers and herbals. And
yeah, well, everything gin. I mean, I always feel like gin is so interesting because it's been shaped so many different world things. Like, the start of gin comes from Geneva, which was a Dutch drink. And the Dutch brought the gin over to London, and they'd have these gin houses. And people would just get destroyed. Like, I won't make light of any opioid crises, but there was a gin crisis in London. Like, it was, like, people, like, they were, like, dying.
It's interesting. I would like to ask a Dutch person, because you just said in a way, I always thought it was Geneva.
Oh, I might be pronouncing
it wrong. I don't know, yeah. Actually, if anyone knows, comment to us. I think I just read, and I would say it out loud as Jennifer.
Yeah, I could be saying Geneva completely wrong. Yeah. I mean, in the Dutch people, they have different pronunciations on things, so obviously it'd be fun to have the right pronunciation.
Yeah, let's find out later. We'll come back to you guys on that.
But so, gin takes over London. It goes crazy there. That's why so many times English people are always gin drinkers. It's a big, most gin English people drink Pimm's Cup or like gin and tonics, right?
Yes.
So gin is so special because you can't have gin without tonic.
Oh, you can.
You can, but I mean, gin and tonic are synonymous as peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, I think it's connected. It's basically how people see it. Although traditionally, the tonic was fairly new.
Very new. I mean, that's the East India Trading Company comes over there.
Yeah, it was a cure for malaria. It was just a way to keep...
For tonic.
Yeah, for the tonic. And then it was a way to... Well, if we're going to get to the whole history of alcohol...
Just gin and tonic.
No, but just everybody that has a seafaring nation has a history of alcohol because water wasn't... You weren't able to keep water for very long on the ships. So the ships. The ships. Sorry.
Lanolin just made the water wash right off.
Getting all, you weren't able to keep water properly, so you used to take...
Beer
or spirits, and gin became a massive seafaring...
Yeah, well, that's why, like, grog was basically... On ships as well. They had rum rations they'd give, but they'd also have gin rations for the officers. I mean, and gin now is such an easy drinking. Like, for me, I always think gin and tonic is like the perfect summer cocktail. Like, it's simple, it's easy, but like a highball of gin and tonic is fun. I am more of a gin and soda guy because I don't like sweet too much. So gin and soda to me is easy.
Yeah, I don't like tonic.
Yeah, it's not my taste, but I get it when people do, you know?
Yeah, the quinine flavor is just not for me. So I'm also gin and soda, but also gin goes great with sour cocktails, fresh cocktails, something like a gimlet.
Mm.
Like nothing talks summer like a really nice fresh gimlet.
Ice cold gimlet is delicious. I mean, a Vesper martini, which we've talked about many times on the pod, is you're not going to have the Vesper
just
without.
A dry martini, Gibson.
Yeah, but Gibson.
Negroni. It's a versatile spirit.
Well, I think that the way gin is so good is you have, obviously, it's like really beautiful juniper flavor, but it doesn't get overpowered in a cocktail.
Yeah, I also like that it has a lot of freedom for expression in it, mm-hmm. as in, of course, you have to have juniper and all that, but the other botanicals are up to the creators.
Yes.
So you can have, obviously, you have your London dries that have no sugar, they're super dry, very specific flavor profile, but you have all these new Western style gins that are... Super interesting. Some of them have like new botanicals, new herbs, new like profiles. Some of them are sweeter, some of them are fresher, some of them are more bitter. So you kind of have like a bouquet of choices. And I think that's really cool, especially when you're making cocktails. Like there's a gin that fits any type of cocktail and you can completely change a cocktail just by changing the gin.
Like I think it's so like when you mentioned new botanicals, like I think a big game changer was Hendrick's gin when they came out.
Yeah, with the cucumber and the rose,
yeah. It's so smart, and it's such an easy marketing thing. Every bar now, if you have a Hendrick's gin and tonic, it's cucumber in it.
Yeah, which, by the way, for everybody at home, you don't need to have cucumber with Hendrick's. It goes well because it's a flavor already in the gin. It also goes great with a lime. I had several arguments with customers that came in, and they're like, I need a gin and tonic with cucumber. And I wasn't in a bar that sold a lot of Hendrick's, so we just didn't have cucumber available at every possible evening. And you need to see the arguments. I used to have to send the bar back to the store to buy some cucumber just to please the customers.
I've had that happen before where like, we'll do cucumber, but customers were like, you can't put cucumber and lime or whatever. I think people are very passionate about
the Hendrick's. They created these rules of how it has to be. And now also some of them bleed it to other gins. They'll get like, can I have a Tanqueray and tonic with cucumber? And I'm like, why?
You know, a guilty pleasure of mine lately has been the Beefeater Strawberry.
I like the whole new, like, pink gins.
I think it's fun. I do think it's fun. I mean, and the cool thing about gin is in China, it's really big. We have a number of brands here in China. High Seas being obviously the one that's doing really well for award winning. There's Peddler's Gin. There's Julu Gin. There's Sun Gin.
I think that to be very direct and honest here on like, I think that one of the reasons why there's so many gin brands as well is because as far as spirits come, gin is fairly easy to produce in the sense that if you're making whiskey, the aging process takes years. It has to be very specific. And, you know, especially if you're doing like a type of single malt and you can't really blend with anything, or if you're doing a blended, you have to have all these different meshes. So it takes a long time to see the results and a long time to be able to get it out in the market. While with gin, you can produce it fairly easily. Although making a good gin, of course, takes mad skills and it's a lot of work. And yeah, but I think gin is just an easier to see the results. It's easier to try what you're making, right? Like
exactly. I think gin, you're not waiting for 4 years or however long in a barrel. And then gin, the cool thing is you barrel age it after you make it. So you have a lot of interesting things. And all the stuff I find with Chinese gins is they really play with local spices and flavors.
Not always for the best. I think that what is interesting is that we've been here, at least you for sure, but I've been here luckily for that period as well, where the Chinese gins started. And you can see a massive difference from then to now. Now we have a lot of local gins to the comparable quality of like classical and like Western brand and new Western brand craft gins. But for a while, it was a little rough.
Yeah.
Well, it was a little rough. That was like a learning curve. And you can see the difference. If you taste the same producers now making their gins and you taste their batches from 6 years ago, like it's night and day.
Yeah.
So like High C's being one of the best ones out there, but...
But I mean, it's just like, I do like the creativity. Like there's some made with goji berries. There's like some interesting stuff that's come out and it's like, oh, wow, it's a cool flavor design for gin, you know? And these, they have their own identity, I think, which is kind of cool. And I will say I love, and this is just general in gins, I love the art design on gin bottles.
Yeah, it's always kind of like, yeah.
Super, like when I was in Thailand.
So it's contemporary.
Like I was drinking this gunpowder gin in Thailand and it's the way the bottle's shaped, it's a...
Iron balls.
Yeah, sorry. Gunpowder gin comes from Ireland, and that's amazing as well. But iron balls, yeah, it's flat. The way they do it, it looks like a Patron bottle that somebody's kind of squished down, or a decanter maybe is a better way to describe it.
I don't know if it's supposed to look like a cannonball kind of thing.
Well, no, the whole idea of it is if it's on a ship and the ship tilts, it doesn't fall off the ship.
Oh.
It's to stay level.
I didn't know that, yeah.
So shout out to Carson, who... Carson's a really famous bartender in Thailand, and we were at his bar in Koh Samui, and he was showing us his gin and tonic. And I said to him, make us a drink. It's one of those kind of bars without a menu. And he gave me this beautiful gin, his gin, with Fever Tree tonic.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to Ashley Sutton, because I think he's the designer for it, and he's definitely involved in the gin creation as well. So I know that they're both involved, yeah.
But like, yeah, he gave me this beautiful, simple, because I was like, make me whatever you want. Just, you know, give it gin base, make it fun. And he gave me this really simple, he's like, I'm going to make you a gin and tonic, but it's one of the best in the world. And it was just gin, Fever Tree tonic, ice, and one of those balloon glasses. Garnish was mint and a fresh pineapple. And it was so good. Because I was like, this doesn't need to be this good, you know, because it's so simple.
Yeah, also, if you're talking about another Chinese gin, we have our friends from Crimson Pangolin. And my favorite one is the Jungle Gin that they made.
That was delicious.
Collaboration with Mark Lloyd. And it's basically a gin with... the classic botanicals, but also a lot of tropical. So imagine a tropical jungle type of flavors to it. And it just makes such a killer gimlet. It's just so fresh. It's great for like a sour fresh gin. Sour fresh cocktail. And yeah, I think that they're really innovative and they're really like changing the scene. So for the guys at home, if you want to take a look on some Chinese gins, I think we can say Crimson Pangolin. We have...
High Seas,
of course. No, but I'm trying to remember Peddler's Gin,
Julu Gin, as we said.
Julu Gin is new. There's one called Porcelain Gin.
Yes, it's a beautiful bottle too, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really had an extensive like tasting of the products, but they come in this kind of Chinese porcelain design bottles that almost feel like old China vases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredibly beautiful. And they have this porcelain tile coasters that have a couple at home as well.
Yeah.
And it's just incredibly beautiful. So I hope the juice matches. I haven't really like had an extensive like tasting of the product, but it looks incredible on the premium side for sure.
Yeah, definitely. If you're doing porcelain coasters, you're on the premium side.
In the bottle too. Like I think the bottle is like exquisite. But take a look at home. Do some little online research. Take a look. The incredible products. I think a few of them are starting to expand internationally.
Yeah.
So a few of them you can get at home, probably in the U.S., more in the craft market or online or on Amazon or something. But check it out. It's always fun.
Like, there's a really famous blogger called Camper English. And he's like the guy that got famous for doing clear ice. And, like, so he did some really cool gin experiments with different gins and clear ice. And it's just so interesting to see what people, like, you give them a couple gins and, like, the ideas start coming out, you know, of creative stuff to do with that alcohol. Because it's a little bit stronger than a vodka, generally. Gins are generally over 40%. Not always.
Yeah, the vodka they like to keep on that safe, like that 40. And yeah, gins will go all sorts of directions.
Jim, I think like Hendrix, I mean, I could be wrong, is like between 42 and 44.
I think it's 42, yeah.
42, yeah. I mean, but there are some stronger gins. They're like, oh, wow. Like if I'm drinking the cocktails, it is important to know how strong you're doing to be sessionable.
Yeah, so I think one of my favorite gins, classic. We're talking super classic here. I like a Tanqueray original.
Yeah.
I love it. But in China, you can only get the export strength, which is, I think it's 47 or 48%. And it has lowered. Initially, when you got Tanqueray here, it was like 52%, which is incredible to make a martini because you can really dilute. You make that really, really cold without losing like that gin property. So incredible for that. But a little heaven for the gin and tonics that you're just selling on happy hour at your bar. People are getting really lit. Yeah. Only a couple of drinks.
Well, I mean, with gins, they also have something called navel strength.
Yeah, but the Tanqueray is just, it's not even supposed to be a navel strength. It's just like, I think it's basically the, I'm guessing here because I don't understand why they would make it stronger. I think it's just undiluted. I think it's just like what they get out of the stills, they get a that percentage. And then normally they will dilute to like, I think normally it's around 42 or something like that, or 43, but percent alcohol, guys, percent of ABV here. And yeah, I think that those here are just undiluted because it's just incredibly strong for like your house gin.
Yeah. I mean, oof, that's, I mean, the navel strength gin is how, what's this, what's the proof?
50 something.
50 something. That's just basically, it's going to light on fire.
Actually, not yet, I think.
Yeah, what, so fire is what, 50? I don't know. I light Ouzo on fire all the time by accident.
No, I mean, I think even 40%, if they are the right temperature, if they're warm enough, you can light them on fire. But to just be like cold on fire should be a little higher.
So speaking of cold, I used to work at a nightclub here. Not here. I'm sorry. I used to work at a nightclub in New Mexico called Swig. I've talked about this a lot. And if we had customers we didn't like, it was always a hot shot of gin. And to do the hot shot, it was... basically, you'd have like the special machine and you just leave the cups on the special machine. And so you leave the cups, you put some gin in there sometimes, and it would always make me gross out. But then we had a friend, Letty, who loves hot gin, and she would just always have hot shots of gin. And hot shot of gin is what we'd give to like a bar back if they were new to kind of haze them.
It's the hazing, it's the hazy liquor. Yeah. For me, I am a big fan of room temperature spirits, except for gin.
Mm.
Like, I like my tequila room temperature. I think that, this is me, but if you guys notice at home, when you make alcohol really cold, it gets kind of like creamy, kind of dilute to this kind of thing, right? And I think for most alcohols, that's such an unpleasant texture, like a mouthfeel. Like, I just don't like that feeling. It makes me almost like a little gaggy about it.
That's a very good point, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that texture at all. And I think that some spirits are more forgiving with their flavor and the texture. So something like a vodka or a gin is okay that cold.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like tequila, you lose all the nice spicy notes of it. Yeah. And you just get the texture in the back of your throat. It's just like, I hate cold tequila. I mean, for me, tequila has to be like, say for mezcal, has to be like room temp.
I do. I mean, I will say, like, we had a football team that we used to sponsor here called Olay Shanghai. And they would always, every day, they would buy, every time they'd won, they'd come and buy like 5 or 6 bottles of ice cold tequila. And they were just drinking shots. But it was like super, I never had that before. I had like ice cold bottles of other stuff. But like I would take buckets, like the beer buckets, and I'd put bottles in, like 2 bottles in, put water on top of it.
Some salt.
No, but yeah, put water, some salt, and put it in the cold room and actually freeze it. Then we'd have to chisel it out for them. And it was so much fun. And it was actually kind of fun to drink.
I guess it's fun. I just don't like it as a flavor, and I don't think it's common. Like, I think in the U.S. you find it more, and here in China it became very trendy to have, like, tequila from the freezer. But if you go to Mexico, it's not something that you can encounter. Like, and I think it's more pleasant at, like, room temperature. Obviously, not warm. Not like I left a bottle in the sun here. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking just, like, your room temp.
Room temperature.
Room temp.
I mean, for gin, another interesting thing is I feel like it's a different kind of drunk. Like gin drunks, every drunk is different. Every person is different, of course. But I know a gin drunk is going to get you a little fighty sometimes.
Really? Not for me.
Not you personally. I'm just saying I've seen customers come out.
I just don't feel a difference on gin drunk versus... The only... I realize that agave, basically in general agave, I get more like, woohoo, happy,
right?
Excited. It's more happy drunk. But except for that and that the wine makes me sleepy, the rest is all the same to me.
Well, I mean, tequila is a proven... every other alcohol but tequila is a depressant.
Ethanol is depressant.
Yeah, but tequila is whatever least in it.
Well, it's still depressant, but it's supposed to be stimulating as well.
So yeah.
It's like depressant in sense of blood pressure and all that, guys. But yeah, but tequila is a happy alcohol. But
I mean, gin, easy drink. fun drink. It's a drink. I mean, I'm going to make a Vesper video really quickly, and we'll have that up on Instagram or somewhere, or our WeChat moments at least. So we'll do some fun stuff with Vespers. I need to make a Negroni video as well. And then, I mean, the wonderful world of gin. I think we'll have to call this episode.
And talk about gin. I prepare some Reddit stories today about gin.
Reddit us.
They're very crazy. Today, they're like unhinged stories.
Nice. Now, I mean, are these all going to be gin related as well?
One is vodka related, but I felt like you could have just changed the word vodka for gin in that sense. But one of them is gin related.
See the ethicalness of Anna? She could have just lied and said it was gin the whole time.
I could have just read gin.
Yeah, you could have read gin.
Sorry, guys, I'm opening up. All right. So this story is unhinged. It's insane.
Okay.
Am I the asshole for giving my girlfriend a concussion and trying to fix it with gin? Just the title out there. All right. Last night, my girlfriend, female 22, and I, male 23, were watching football, drinking a fair amount of beer, wine, and liquor, and playing pong during the game. I'm taking this like beer pong or booze pong, whatever. Nothing too crazy. Just our normal Sunday night at this point. By the time the game ended, we were both pretty zipped. I would say she was a 4.5 out of 10 drunk. But I think that's a bit of a lie looking back through my stash, considering that she intentionally peed in my sink. So maybe a 5 out of 10. Pretty sober, but meh. Sorry, I'm going to stop it right here. I had to look at the amount of the stash and she was peeing in the sink. I don't think she was a 5 out of 10. I think she was a bit more than that. Also, he calls it pretty sober, but meh.
Typical Sunday night at home for them.
Typical, yeah. She started cooking some frozen burgers around 4 a.m. while we were having a round of screwdrivers. We sat down to eat them, and I started complaining to her about how I miss lifting at the gym. I especially mentioned deadlifting and how I wish I was able to do so. She offered to let me deadlift her.
Oh my god, this lady sounds like a lot of fun. To be honest with you, she sounds like a party.
Also, I love that they're like, just pretty sober, normal Sunday night, 4 a.m. deadlifting my girlfriend. I said, sure. Here's where I got in trouble. She laid down and I went to get into position to start to pull. Of course, she slipped out of my hand mid-lift and fell onto the concrete floor. She obviously fell pretty hard and didn't protect her head during the fall. She curled into a fetal position crying, and I felt bad, so I got her a frozen steak for the swelling. This didn't seem to help much, so I got her sunglasses to help with the light, and I got her into bed, and finished both of her screwdrivers before turning off the lights. I had a feeling I was in for a long one.
Well, yeah, she could have been concussed, and he put lights on it.
To sleep, yeah.
That's dangerous.
We woke up this afternoon. Long story short, she's fine, but is pretty sauced about me dropping her on the floor. She's convinced she has a minor concussion. I remain much more doubtful, but she claims that she knows what a concussion feels like.
I think this girl does. I really do feel like if anybody knows how to be concussed, she's been concussed before.
As I mentioned, I felt pretty bad. So when we went to the liquor store today, I offered to buy her a pretty nice $20 liter of gin. Gin is her favorite liquor. She looked at me with incredulous face and said that buying her alcohol wouldn't change the fact that she's concussed before because of me. She didn't really seem upset with me until the liquor store today. I apologize already, and though she's literally fine, she's constantly complaining for concussing her. And even though in jest, I feel like a bit of an asshole, it was absolutely an accident. So, am I the asshole? Now, there's so much to unpack
here. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, first off, she seems like she might... I mean, if you drop on your head... I mean, I've seen people with concussions before. You take them to the hospital.
Yeah, or at least you stay awake with them to make sure they don't have any signs of confusion or throwing up or dizziness or any other side effects. So don't put them to bed.
Yeah, we're not doctors. I think the first and foremost thing is take them to the hospital.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, I have fallen and hit my head. And at the moment, if you're not feeling like there's anything wrong with you, you kind of stay in this little state of observation for a little bit. Because if you have a concussion, you do have signs.
Yeah.
But the most serious thing of a concussion is sleeping on it. Like, you should never go to bed when you have a concussion.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing they did. And I love that they slept until the afternoon. And then she woke up saying that she has a concussion. Like, girl, you're fine by now. Probably.
This could have gotten dark. It could have been like, yeah, me and my girlfriend, yada, yada. I put the sunglasses on her, put her to bed. She woke up cold this morning and she's not answering. And am I the asshole?
And I love that the first thing that they did after they woke up is hit up the liquor store.
Yeah, that's, I mean, he's not a jerk for buying her, trying to buy her gin. I mean, the accident happened. I don't think anybody's an asshole. I think it's just an accident.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's the asshole, but I just think that that's a wild story for how much they're normalizing the, like, excess drinking and going back to the liquor store and trying to make things up with gin is a little intense. Also, you have to be pretty drunk to 4 a.m. tell your boyfriend, you should deadlift me right now.
The deadlift sounds like a great idea.
Great. What could go wrong?
Yeah, this is perfect.
All right. So, yeah, not the asshole, right? Nobody's the asshole.
Nobody's the asshole.
Or everybody's the asshole. I don't even know.
Everybody's a winner in that one.
Legend.
Legends.
All right. So, the next one. I'm going for the sake of the episode. I'm going to change it to gin, but it's vodka.
Okay.
But just for noted. No, for context, noted. Okay? Am I the asshole for pretending to drink a whole bottle of gin and freaking everybody out?
That's it?
No, I mean, it's a story. It's a title. It's a title. Yeah. I was a late bloomer, in the sense that I didn't have my first drink until I was 19, and where I'm from, it's legal at 18. All my friends started drinking between 13 and 16, and they always teased me about what a good little responsible boy I was. And also because my tolerance level is super low. I'm 21 now, and I maybe had a drink every 2 months, and get drunk even with a beer. But my friends' teasing is incessant. It's like they believe getting hammered is necessary rite of passage for me to become an adult. So this weekend, at one of my friend's birthday party, I came across an empty bottle of vodka. Sorry, gin. I even forgot how strange. Gin. While I was alone in the kitchen, and the idea struck me. I filled up with water, and I rubbed actual gin all over the top of the bottle and in my hands that I was holding the bottle with. I took a glass of about a quarter of orange juice, and I joined the others. When I was sure they all could see me, I filled the other three quarters of the glass with the quote-unquote gin, and I downed the whole thing and made a face like, ugh. A friend laughed and came over to sniff the bottle, and he was virtually slapped in the nostrils by the smell of alcohol from my hand in the top of the bottle. People were shocked that I was able to drink all of it. Then I pretend freaked out and said I was sick of them calling me a wuss, and I just started drinking the rest of the contents from the bottle. I drank almost all of it, and one of them literally jumped on me and punched the bottle out of my hand. It fell on the floor and it broke. Then another couple of them started freaking out, calling me an idiot, saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, call the ambulance, he's going to kill himself, and so on. Within 15 seconds, everyone was in panic mode, so I decided that it was enough, and I told them that it was just water. I said I found an empty bottle and I put water in it. I wasn't going to die and nobody needed to call an ambulance. They fucking lost it. I don't think even my mom shouted at me as much as they did. Everyone was so upset that they turned off the music and just sat there pouting and yelling at me in intervals. A few of the girls told me to go fuck myself and go home when the party was over. Only two guys told me to ignore the rest of them and said, you got us good. Since that happened, I've been shunned doing lunch at college, and most of my friends won't even talk to me. I sent them all apologies on Facebook. I don't know if I'm the Twilight Zone or if I really did something heinous. Am I the asshole?
Okay, what is a... I think they're not really an asshole. Their friends overreacted.
I think they overreacted too. I mean, yes, you would freak out if a friend does something that irresponsible. But then he said, psych. That's it, right?
I've also seen friends do that without psyching.
Well, one, he's very young. Two, everyone knows how low his tolerance is because he said he gets drunk with one beer. Yeah. So I think if I were like low tolerance, not much of a drinker friend, down the whole bottle of gin, we would freak out and be worried about what's going to happen. But
well, that's basically Cheryl last week. That's why the episode was so messy.
But once they tell us it's a prank, I think we would have moved on. Like, I don't feel like it's a cause of.
Okay, so when he says he puts the gin on top of the drink, it's like gin on top of the bottle and his hand, and he finished the bottle. He actually drank some gin as well.
Yeah, he's not like a straight edge. He drinks sometimes. He put just a little bit around the edge and around his hand so it smells like alcohol, right? So he did a good prank.
No, I think it's not a bad deal. Like, if it's a prank, but I think everybody else freaked out. Like, he's not an asshole. Like, it's a prank.
Oh, so he came clean.
Yeah. It's not like he was waiting for around for an hour or something like that.
Yeah, like, I think was... Yeah, I'm not going to say it's necessarily funny, but also they've been kind of bullying him for not drinking for a while.
Yeah. And especially
so I think that's an asshole move.
Yeah, and especially that age, and depending on college, you do get pressured to drink. I mean, it is part of the culture sometimes, like to pressure people to drink. Like I can remember on my 21st birthday, at my 20th birthday, all my friends were 21 and I couldn't go out with them. And so they all left my party at like 10.
Oh no, to go drink. And you're like, bye.
Like, bye guys. Just have to stay home at my mom's house. But yes, I don't think asshole.
I don't think so either. If also like I said, his friends have been bullying him for a while. So it was just a prank. It's harmless. No one is hurt.
Literally no one's hurt. They were overacting, punching the bottle out of his hand. But that's also kids that age are drama queens.
Yeah. And I think that the two guys that said, you got us good. And yeah, that's kind of how it ends. Even if you thought it was a bad taste of a joke, it's just a joke.
It's just a joke. It's not the end of the world.
I think nobody's the asshole or everybody's the asshole.
Everybody
but the OP. One or the other.
Yeah, everybody be the OP. But I feel like those people that were doing deadlifts, that's a party. Those people would have cheering him on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they would have been like, Chug.
Oh, good. You want to do a deadlift now? Let's go. Here's some frozen hamburgers.
Yeah.
He would have made friends with those guys right away. Then he would have kept the secret that he only drank water.
Oh, yeah. He'll never tell anybody.
He'll never tell anybody.
The street cred would be like, can't ruin that.
You can't ruin that at all. I mean, without really drinking too much today, we did good. We're trying to cut back our drinking on air.
Yeah, we've done really good.
So, Anna, I think with that said, let's go enjoy this beautiful day. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Like and subscribe on all your favorite podcast channels. And we will catch you on the next one.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.